You're listening to the Foul Ball Area podcast with Matthew Atkins, now available on Spotify, SoundCloud, Podbean, and Apple Podcasts. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the latest episode of the Foul Ball Area podcast. I'm your host, Matthew Atkins. Thank you so much for tuning in to this week's episode. We've got a special guest on this week's episode. Joining me once again is the unofficial co-host of Foul Ball Area, Trey Lyle, joining us all the way from Kansas.
Hey, Matt, how's it going?
Good, Trey. How are you? I'm glad that we could do this and get you back on the podcast. It's been quite a while since you've joined us.
Yeah, I mean, life kind of got in our way. We graduated, which it's been a year since we graduated, which is kind of weird. And then, you know, jobs got in the way, and glad to be back on.
Yeah, I can't believe it's been, almost a year, about 11 months since we've graduated. So that's crazy. But how are things going out in Kansas? How's the job?
It's been interesting. I mean, I live in a very small town in Kansas, so it's very unique. But, have to get that experience under you. It's been pretty interesting to see. Our station is very relied on for news, especially in the area. So with everything going on right now, how relied we are, the different programming we're doing during this time, and how people kind of rely on us has been very interesting during this time. And obviously, I'm like the lowest guy on the totem pole. I just get told what to do. But seeing how my bosses work, our news team works, and it's been pretty incredible.
Yeah. So, these are unprecedented times that we're in right now. I was talking with David Cunningham last week about what he's been up to during this whole social distancing, quarantine, whatever you want to call it. What are you doing to keep yourself busy? Because you told me you're not working as much now with everything going on.
Yeah, we're on a reduced schedule just to limit, bodies in our studio. I've been watching The West Wing.
All right.
So I just started The West Wing. I obviously watched Tiger King on Netflix. I'm assuming you've watched that as well.
Oh yeah, I've watched Tiger King. I watched the new episode they came out with on Sunday. Caught up on that, so I'm all caught up.
A new episode? I haven't seen that one yet.
It's really not as exciting as it sounds. It's Joel McHale interviewing some of the people from the show.
Oh, I saw some of the clips of that.
It was kind of a letdown. I was excited. I was like, a new episode. This is gonna be great. And it was.
Fox did like a TMZ investigates like the real story that came out last night. So
yeah,
but it's hard to find. I was gonna play a round of golf, but yesterday, but it was 40. The high yesterday was 45, and I was gonna play in the morning, and it was like the low to mid 30s, so I couldn't. So weather got in the way there, not social distancing. But hopefully, get around in there and cooked a little bit. I've seen you've been kind of doing that, like making drinks and cooking a little bit. Been working on my cooking skills a little bit.
Nice. Yeah, we've been putting some cocktails up on the blog. I did a Cheerwine bourbon glazed ham for Easter dinner, and it was delicious. That might be my favorite thing that I've ever made. I would highly recommend that if you can find Cheerwine out there. I don't know if they have that in Kansas.
I haven't seen it.
They probably got cherry coke. You could use that. That would work.
Yeah.
All right. Well, before we dive into some baseball topics today, I want to remind everyone, make sure you're keeping up to date with all the Foul Ball Area stuff going on Facebook, Twitter, and social media, and check in on the blog every day. I've got stuff on there every day. Just had an article today about the powder blue uniforms making a comeback in Major League Baseball this season. I think there are great, great uniforms out there. The Rangers, the Twins, and the Blue Jays all released new powder blue uniforms this offseason. So now there are, I think, 7 teams in total that have a powder blue alternate. I think that's a great look. More teams should bring those back. But make sure you're following everything on the blog and on social media at Foul Ball Area. Now diving into the baseball topics of the day. Today is one of my favorite days on the Major League Baseball calendar, April 15th, Jackie Robinson Day, the anniversary of the day that Jackie Robinson made his Major League Baseball debut and broke baseball's color barrier. I really like today because normally, if we had baseball, every player would be wearing number 42. And I just think that's one of the coolest things that we see in baseball every year. So I'm a little sad that we won't get to see that tradition this year.
Yeah, I completely agree. Obviously, the number 42 is synonymous with like maybe three players of all time, and Jackie Robinson has to be at the top of the list. Just the impact he made on the game of baseball. First of all, he was a phenomenal baseball player. If you looked at him, he was a phenomenal base runner. I think he would have fit pretty well in today's game as a leadoff hitter, especially in the National League, when you need someone who's really good at getting extra bases. And the impact he had on the game, I agree with you. One of the best days of the year. And I would expect, and this is just hypothetically, if baseball made a reduced schedule or whatever they do, they might. I think they're going to have to do a kind of Jackie Robinson kind of day.
I would hope so. I would hope they'd still find a way to honor him during the whatever season they end up having. I think they've got to find a way to honor him, fit that into the schedule. It's going to be a shortened season, but they've got to find a way to get some kind of Jackie Robinson honor in there. Speaking on what you said about him being a phenomenal baseball player, I've actually seen people recently calling him underrated. And I was like, how can Jackie Robinson be underrated? But, you know, he is mostly known for breaking the color barrier. That's what he's most known for. He was a civil rights leader. He broke the color barrier. So that's where most of his notoriety came from. But like you said, he was a phenomenal baseball player. He led the league in stolen bases twice. Like you said, a great base runner. He had 37 stolen bases in 1949. That was also the year that he won his National League MVP award. He led the league in batting average in 1949. He hit .342, led in on-base percentage in 1952 with a .440 on-base percentage. He was a six-time All-Star. And also, when you look at it, since he played so long in the Negro Leagues before making his Major League debut, he was 28 years old when he made his Major League Baseball debut. So you imagine if he had debuted when he was younger, when he was more in his prime, how much better of an MLB career he would have had. Because he spent so much time playing in the Negro Leagues before Branch Rickey brought him to the Dodgers, brought him into Major League Baseball. So that took away a lot of his prime years. So if he had those years in MLB, his stats would be that much better, and he would be, you know, considered the greatest second baseman of all time instead of, you know, number three or number four.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I think also, like, you have to contextualize, like, when he played. And think about this. He debuted for the Dodgers in, like you said, 1947. The Civil Rights Movement didn't start for another 11 years. The Civil Rights Act didn't get signed till the mid-60s. Even later than that. So really, he played in a time where the Civil Rights Act, 1964, so is when the Civil Rights Act, he played in a time where this was unheard of. Like, this was literally unheard of. And that's when he broke the color barrier. The impact he had on sports, I think, is deservingly so, and that's why this underrated player comes in, because of his impact. And I think you look at it, and it doesn't take away from his impact. You kind of have to contextualize it in, like, two parts. Jackie Robinson, the person, and the impact he made on sports and society, and Jackie Robinson, the player, who deserves to be in the Hall of Fame.
Exactly, yeah. He only had a 10-year career in Major League Baseball, and in that 10-year career, he, like I said, he led the league in batting average, on-base percentage, stolen bases, won an MVP, six-time All-Star, so he is a Hall of Famer, one of the greatest second basemen of all time, and a civil rights leader way ahead of the civil rights movement, like you said. Earlier this week, I actually rewatched the movie 42, which, in my opinion, is one of the greatest baseball movies out there. And it does a really good job of showing the abuse and discrimination that he dealt with during his whole career. The movie just focuses on his rookie season, 1947. And one scene, the scene that really stands out is when they're playing the Phillies, and Phillies manager Ben Chapman is standing up outside the dugout just yelling racial slurs at him the entire time that he's up at bat. I mean, it's kind of a hard scene to watch, and that's what he was actually dealing with. This movie does a great job of painting that picture, showing what life was like for Jackie Robinson during his rookie year.
Yeah, I completely agree. And think about, like, just the roles Chadwick Boseman had to play, man. He got Jackie Robinson, Black Panther, like, dude's a legend and already, and he's young, and he's, I mean, a phenomenal actor, and like you said, one of the best baseball movies ever. I watched it in my government class. Like, we watched it there as well, and I remember it being, I mean, my favorite baseball movie of all time is Major League, but I think it, of course, is one of the best baseball movies of all time, and those are obviously opposite spectrums of baseball movies.
Yeah, a little bit.
But for it, you, I think you said it perfectly. I think if someone need the thing to do today, if you can, obviously, on Jack Robinson days, watch 42. I guarantee probably MLB Network is going to be airing it, and if not, just find it online somewhere and watch it, because you learn a lot from it. It's a phenomenal movie, that, and I think you said it perfectly.
Yeah, great movie all around. Does a good job painting the historical picture, and it's also just a really well done movie. The cinematography is great. One thing that I was actually thinking about when I was watching it that a lot of baseball movies do wrong and that really bothers me is they'll have the PA announcer at the stadium doing play-by-play of the game. That doesn't happen in real life, but for some reason, movies always have that. This movie doesn't. They clearly have a PA announcer for the stadium and a play-by-play announcer for the radio. I don't know why it's so hard for movies to get that right. 42 does it, so good job for them.
My favorite character, one of my favorite characters of all time is Bob Uecker, so I can't, like... But he didn't really do PA for Major League, so...
No, they had him as the radio announcer. So Major League also does a good job of that. So, I actually watched Major League for the first time this week, and I can't believe it took me this long to watch it, but that is a great movie also.
I know the character Bob Uecker was actually the Milwaukee Brewers play-by-play guy until after. I didn't know that. I didn't know that for the longest time.
Wow. All right. Well, you didn't know that, and I hadn't watched Major League until just a few days ago, so...
And what'd you think?
Great movie. It's up there in terms of baseball movies. It was really good. It's hilarious. Charlie Sheen, great job. All around good movie. But yeah, wrapping up our Jackie Robinson conversation, today is the anniversary of the day he made his Major League debut with the Brooklyn Dodgers. He played 10 seasons in Major League Baseball, broke baseball's color barrier, and is enshrined in the Baseball Hall of Fame. Real quick before we move on, the Los Angeles Dodgers have been posting workouts on social media with their director of strength and conditioning. And so I decided to do one yesterday, and it kicked my ass.
Yeah.
It was a very difficult workout. And it was, since today is Jackie Robinson themed, or since today is Jackie Robinson Day, the workout was Jackie Robinson themed. So 137 squats for his 137 career home runs, 6 rounds of 42 mountain climbers, 6 rounds of 42 jackknifes, 6 rounds of 10 burpees for his 10 seasons in the major leagues, and 6 rounds of 37 seconds of bear crawl for his 37 stolen bases in 1949. It was a very difficult workout.
I wouldn't do it. I mean,
well, it's on YouTube. If anyone out there,
you know me now for nearly 5 years. Do I look like someone who works out?
I'm not going to answer that.
There you go. You answered it already.
It's on YouTube. If anyone out there wants to try it, be warned. It is very difficult. Moving on to some current baseball talk.
You can tag foul ball. If you do it, tag foul ball area. How about that? Look at that.
Oh, yeah. That's a good idea. If you do this Dodgers workout, tag foul ball area. Let us know that you're doing it. Let us know how you do, because I couldn't do the whole thing without taking a couple breaks. So let us know how you do if you decide to try this workout. Our next topic of discussion today, I saw a Fangraphs article yesterday posing the question of how a missed 2020 season will affect potential Hall of Fame candidates. And one of the players they were talking about was Cincinnati Reds first baseman Joey Votto. And so the question to me is, you know, is Joey Votto a Hall of Famer? And my first thought, just off the top of my head, is yes, Joey Votto is a Hall of Famer just based on his ability to get on base. Based on his plate discipline alone, he's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, I think your first thought is definitely he's a Hall of Famer. I mean, to me, he was one of the best first basemen over the last 5 to 10 years. I mean, he played on a franchise that has still is kind of now starting to turn the corner. I mean, the Reds were really good mid-2010s, and Votto was a key among that. This is a guy who was an MVP, what, 2 years ago?
Should have been. He was second place in the MVP. Yeah.
Yeah, and Joe, like, to me, I think you look at it, were you one of the best players? And I think that's kind of where you start for the Hall of Fame, and I have to say yes.
The average wins above replacement of Hall of Fame first baseman is 66.6. Votto's currently at 59.7. I think he's signed through the 2024 season, so he's got 4 or 5 more seasons, so he could get there. His .307 career batting average is 1 point better than the average of Hall of Fame first baseman. His .422 on base percentage is better than first baseman Jim Thome and Frank Thomas. His .522 slugging percentage is better than Eddie Murray and Willie McCovey. So he has the stats that are better than first basemen that are already in the Hall of Fame. But the thing that hurts him is his analytics and his ratio stats are great. His counting stats are what hurt him. He doesn't have 2,000 hits. He doesn't have 300 home runs. And he's played 13 years in the league. But it's because of his plate discipline. He does not swing at pitches that are outside the strike zone. He draws so many walks that he doesn't, you know, have the opportunity to get those 2,000 hits or 300 home runs, because he's not going to swing at a pitch if it's not over the plate. He will take a walk.
Yeah, and I also think, I mean, he's going to get there. I think he's, what, 134 hits away and 16 hits away or 16 homers away. So I think he'll get there. I'll probably finish with, like, 2,100, 2,200 hits and 320 home runs, 315 home runs. That's very much lowballing it, because he could easily get to the 300 home run. He could hit both those marks if we have a season in 2020, depending on how many games are played. I mean, this is a guy who's been, I think his consistency is something that you can't deny, and he's been consistent ever since he's been in the league, and he's just been playing on bad teams. It's sort of like the Barry Sanders kind of thing. Barry Sanders, you could argue, is the greatest running back of all time, but he played for the Lions, and, like, he never played on a good football team. So it gets difficult.
Yeah, his consistency is definitely something that you have to look at. He has declined a little bit the past 2 years, hitting below 300 each of the past 2 years. And I think the 2019 season was actually one of his worst career seasons. But before then, I mean, every year he was batting 322, 324, 309, 337, 305. 2014, he was injured, didn't have a very good season, but he bounced back, 314, 326, 320. So almost every year his batting average was in the, you know, 320, 330 range. Then the last 2 years, he's been declining a little bit. So I think that could hurt him if he continues to decline. And he is 36 years old right now. But if he can, you know, just have a couple of steady years, I think he's got a good shot at making the Hall of Fame. I think he could even be a first ballot Hall of Famer. Obviously, it'll depend on the people around him, the great players around him when they retire. If they all are on the ballot the same year, that'll have some effect on it. But I think he could be a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Yeah, I agree. I think, like you said, there's a lot more factors in it. Let's say he plays at least 2 more years. And so then you have to wait another 4 years, right? Five after they retire. So it would depend. I mean, he could be in the same group as, like, a Melky Cabrera or an Albert Pujols. I'm assuming those two retire maybe a year or two sooner. But that's kind of – that would be the group he's going to be compared to, is an Albert Pujols, a Melky Cabrera, probably a Mark Teixeira a little bit, even though Texas is now up for the Hall of Fame. Those are kind of the first basemen I think of that you would compare him to. Not like a first baseman. Like, Cody Bellinger plays first, but he's not really a first baseman. He plays everywhere, it feels like. I'm trying to think of a first – like, really good first baseman right now. It's kind of hard. There's no real great dominant first baseman in baseball right now, which is kind of weird.
Yeah. You mean Miguel Cabrera?
Miguel. Did I say Mick?
You said Melky Cabrera. Miguel. Yeah.
Well, Melky Cabrera is up technically for the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
I meant Miguel Cabrera. One of them, you know, one of them. The guy who got the Triple Crown twice.
Yeah. Yeah. Cabrera, Votto, and Pujols, they are, you know, the great first baseman of their generation. It's kind of interesting, though. Like, they're very different players. Cabrera and Pujols, they have, you know, the power, and Votto is just the contact, get on base.
Yeah, definitely. I think everyone thinks of a first baseman as a power hitter, kind of because of the position, especially in the National League. You kind of put your worst fielder, quote unquote, at first. All he has to do is catch it. It kind of feels like, and then you put a big power guy. You think of like a Jeff Bagwell or a, that's kind of the name that comes to the top of my head, is a really good power hitter, but who played first. And so Votto's kind of changed the kind of narrative of it, where he's a guy you could put in the two hole and he could go 3 for 4 with maybe an RBI, but like 3 runs because he's gotten on base every time.
Yeah, so like we said, he's still short of 2,000 hits and 300 home runs, but he'll probably get there in his career. He's got 4 or 5 more seasons left to play. He could get there this year if there's a season, and that takes us to our next topic, because Major League Baseball is looking at pretty much just one scenario. They've floated a couple scenarios out there, but now Jeff Passan got on Get Up on ESPN the other day, and he said it's pretty much Arizona or bust, this Arizona plan where all 30 teams would play games in the Phoenix area using Chase Field, spring training facilities, and other fields in that area. They would play a season in Arizona.
Or at least, what do you think about until this? So I think, for the way I understand it, they play like the first half of the season there, and then like once somewhat normalcy came back. I mean, at this point, I just want baseball. I also saw, and we talked about this before we started recording, like basically going – using the spring training leagues and playing in Florida and in Arizona. I think any idea right now is good. I think you won't realistically have baseball, and this is a guy who doesn't know anything until June. Like, and we're still over a month away from baseball. I personally believe, and I think if you're baseball, you get to June, you say, let's play 1,500 games you probably could fit in for June, and you go into late November and you look at a neutral site World Series, because I don't think Arizona is going to work. I don't think, from a practical point of view, I think players don't want to, like, the Arizona Diamondbacks are going to have such an advantage. It would be astronomical, because you basically have a home game every game. And in terms of not probably like a crowd, because you want to have fans there, but in terms of your team. And I think that is such an advantage that the Diamondbacks could have a historic season. And so I think sticking players in hotels, and it's just from I love the idea of being floated around, like, personally, because it gets us baseball back in May. But I think from a practical point of view, it makes no sense.
Yeah, I've heard that, you know, the players aren't really big fans of it, because they'd have to be separated from their families for however long this goes on, 2, 3, 4 months that they're just out there in Arizona, stuck with their teams and away from their families. And, you know, they're talking about players that have young kids, and they'd have to be separated from their kids for that long. Because, you know, during a regular season, they're on the road a lot, but they're still home half the time, so they can be with their families. But if they played this Arizona plan, they would be gone for however long this plan lasts. And you're right, they have said, Jeff Passan said, that they're hoping this would be a 2 or 3 month thing before they start being able to have games in other cities again. But that's still a long time for everyone to just be kind of stuck in Arizona, separated from the rest of the world, and just playing baseball for 2 or 3 months. He also said that, you know, once they start playing in other cities again, it's still kind of unlikely that they'll play in front of fans this year. So that is not looking good, and it's going to be unfortunate if there are no games open to fans this year.
Yeah, I think I think the sport that would probably be affected most by it would be baseball, in terms of not having fans. I think basketball, I think it'd be okay. Like, I think you could get by with it. I think football, definitely. I think that's a whole nother argument. Like, football, definitely. Like, pretty simple. I think you can do football without it. But baseball is such, like, baseball is built on the atmosphere. Like, that's kind of, it's built on that. Like, that's kind of how the sport is built. And I think you take a key part away. I think if anybody wants to watch a baseball game without fans, I believe it was the Orioles and the White Sox played a fanless game due to riots. I want to say that was 2015, a couple years ago, basically. And so it was pretty interesting to watch. Obviously, growing up in Virginia, you had Masson, where you could watch Orioles games. I don't have that now, but it was definitely unique. And I think what's going to happen is the first 2 weeks of the season, everyone's going to watch because it's new and it's sports. And I think, and it's going to be difficult, I think, in the long run.
Real quick, what games do you get out in Kansas? Are you in one of those weird blackout areas? Oh, you get Kansas City. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. All right. I get the Royals.
So you're going to be a Royals fan now?
No. I'm still going to root for my Yankees. So.
All right.
That's kind of upset because they're the favorites to win the World Series. Like, as soon as they got Garrett Cole, I know we haven't talked in a while. So as soon as they got Garrett Cole, which I was like, I came the off season with one mindset. The Yankees get Garrett Cole, and I don't care what they do. And so I was like, all right, we're bet. Let's do this. We got this. This is the one issue we had.
Yeah, yeah. They get Garrett Cole, they're set up to win the World Series, and then this pandemic hits, and there might not even be a season. You know, the Braves, they didn't really make any huge moves, but they signed Marcelo Ozuna for 1 year. So I'm kind of curious what happens if this season doesn't happen. Does he come back next year, or is his contract up?
Yeah, well, his contract would be up because they've already agreed to basically Major League Baseball, and players have agreed to count this year even if they suspend it. So
I'm interested to see what would happen then. You know, would he come back to the Braves? Would he try to get a contract somewhere else because he won't have any new data or stats to earn a new contract? So I don't know.
I thought this was a good year for a Yankees Braves World Series, and I'd be happy.
Yeah, I would like to see that. I think that would be a good series. I think the Yankees would probably win that one, but it would be good. The Braves have a good bullpen, though. They really bolstered their bullpen in the offseason.
Yeah, I mean, the Dodgers are the team of the West right now, or in the NL, too, with their lineup. But I don't think they'll keep Mookie this year, and David Price doesn't really bolster their bullpen for their rotation. So we'll see. Finally, Mike Trout got someone to play with in Anthony Rendon, so that felt good. Felt good for Mike Trout, because I felt bad because he could go. And I know we're kind of going off track, but that's another player where you look at it, and I mean, he's the greatest, you could argue the greatest player of all time. He's played on some bad teams, going back to the Joey Votto argument about if he should be a Hall of Fame. I think no one doubted Mike Trout's on his way to the Hall of Fame. I mean, he probably, if he retired today, would be in the Hall of Fame as a first ballot, near unanimous. So.
Yeah, I think so. It is good that the Angels got someone for him, but they didn't get any pitching. So they're still struggling there. The Dodgers, like you said, they got Mookie Betts in the trade from the Red Sox. But, you know, if there's no season this year, then they lose that year that they have him. So yeah, that would suck for the Dodgers.
Yeah.
So no one really knows what's going to happen. It seems like the Arizona plan is what MLB is trying to do. Last week, they released a statement saying that they haven't endorsed any plan yet. They're not set on any plan, but the reporters like Jeff Passan are saying that it's Arizona or bust. That's what they're trying to do. Personally, I'd rather wait it out, start in June, or even I've seen July 4th as an opening day date, and I think that would be cool. You know, it's the most American holiday. Baseball is the most American sport. If you just start the season on the 4th of July, that would be pretty cool. I'd like to wait and try to have a normal opening day with fans in attendance, if possible. But if not, you got to get baseball in somehow. So the Arizona plan, if that's all that they can do, then they have to do it.
Yeah, I'm coming to the realization that the next sport we might see is the National Football League. I think it'll be interesting to do because I think like the NFL can sustain itself without fans, but like college football can't. Like it physically can't. If you look at their revenues, they can't. So the idea of spring college football has been thrown around, which is very interesting, but I think the National Football League might have some influence of it, and you have like kids who could go to the NFL. I'm going to give me like Trevor Lawrence, he'd basically play two full seasons in within a year, and that's it gets dicey there. So
yeah, what happens. That would be tough for them.
There's a lot less unanswered, and I think the key right now is everyone who's listening, just stay safe, don't be stupid, social distance, stay at home if you have to go to work. Thank you for what you're doing right now as an essential worker, especially any medical care workers listening right now. But stay at home, wash your hands, just be smart about it. And I think we're getting through this. I think we're getting to a point where we can start to get some normalcy back, but I think we're still a long way away from it. And just kind of have to take day by day and take the cards that are dealt and do as best you can to make the best of the situation. So learn something new, try stuff at home, and, you know, watch Tiger King.
There you go. That's a great way to say it. We do have one good thing going on right now, though. The Chinese Professional Baseball League, which is actually in Taiwan, has started its 2020 season. They started on Sunday. So
did Korea start too?
Korea is going to start soon. They're still in their spring training, but they are starting their season soon also. But the Taiwanese professional baseball has begun. However, they're 12 hours ahead of us, so their games start at 6:35 a.m. Eastern time. That'd be 5:30 for you out there in Kansas. So I might be able to get up and watch some of these games, but I'm not going to be.
I will not.
Huh?
I will not.
Yeah, I don't blame you. I'm not going to be a religious watcher and follower of the Chinese Professional Baseball League, but if I feel like getting up at 6:30 one morning to watch some baseball, I might do that. And I think I'm going to go with the Uni Lions as my team. There's only four teams in the league, but I'm going to go with
I think we should make the Uni Lions the official team of the foul ball area.
Yeah, let's do it. That's my team for this year, the Uni Lions. They're already 1-0. They won their first game 4-1. They play again tomorrow against the Rakuten Monkeys. So, ooh, riveting stuff out there in Taiwan. Tune in to the Uni Lions. Well, before we wrap up, we just got some breaking news from Trey's ESPN app about the Yankees. And Trey, since they're your team, you want to take this one?
Yeah. So, longtime Yankees owner, co-chair Hank Steinbrenner passed away today at the age of 63 due to a long-standing health issue. Obviously, Hal Steinbrenner is the one who really runs the franchise right now. But this is it's tragic. Obviously, the Steinbrenner family is synonymous with the game of baseball and the New York Yankees franchise. So, tragic news. Age of 63 passed away from a long-standing health issue. So it's definitely unfortunate.
Yeah, thoughts and prayers with the New York Yankees organization and the Steinbrenner family right now as they deal with the passing of Hank Steinbrenner. We'll be keeping them in our thoughts. That's going to do it for this week's episode of Foul Ball Area. Trey, thank you for joining us. Make sure you tune in next week on Foul Ball Area and stay up to date with everything going on around the blog and podcast on social media, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Foul Ball Area.